Hello and welcome to the 215 Workman's Podcast. My name is Brother Robert Reynolds. I'm from KJBRD Radio Ministries in Lipa City, Batangas, Philippines. This is the podcast of myself and Brother Landon Dunn, and I appreciate y'all being with us today to hear this message that Brother Landon has for you. We pray that it's a blessing to you and a help to you. We pray it helps you learn to rightly divide the word of truth. Amen. All right, so Brother Landon is going to do today is he's going to do part three of is Hebrews 10:25 talking to the church. Is Hebrews 10:25 talking to the church? So without further ado, here is Brother Landon.
We're going to pick back up and continue on today with the part three message right here on is Hebrews 10:25 talking to the church. Is Hebrews 10:25 talking to the church? So if you would, go ahead and open up your Bible with me to the book of Hebrews. Look with me right here in verse 25. Amen, verse 25. Notice right here with me. Right here, the Bible reads, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Now you notice right here with me, beginning right here, number one, we're going to notice right here, our point number one is as ye see the day approaching. Notice once more, verse 25, once more. Notice that it says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Now notice the question with me right here. What day is this? Is this the rapture? Now we see the church today stuck in their tradition, and they are trying to physically force our opening of text on believers to be inside of a church building. Now again, I'm not against a believer going to church, because I believe we should go. But they keep forgetting that the church is in apostasy, and most churches doctrinally are in error today, and they're not preaching and teaching the truth rightly divided.
That's right.
You know, I've heard pastors say, "Well, it doesn't matter if it's right or not. You know, for sake of Hebrews 10:25, you need to obey the Lord and be in church." And you know, that's about the dumbest statement that I've ever heard. Because if a church is in error and you sit under their teaching, then you're going to grow in error.
That's right.
Now, why would you tell a believer something so foolish, amen? You know, it honestly makes no sense at all. You know, to physically apply this verse would be saying that we today would be going into the tribulation period. Notice right back here with me my text. We're going to read from verses 25 down to 27. Notice, it says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins." Notice verse 27. "But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries." You know, now this goes in contrast with Paul's gospel today, because Paul says that we today are sealed, and that day, you know, that day would not take us as a thief. So who do we believe? Do we follow the scriptures? Or do we blindly follow a man twisting the scriptures?
Preach, brother.
Now, as a good student of the Word, we always follow the Scriptures. Amen?
Amen.
Flip back with me, book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Amen? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, let's look at the whole chapter for to cover the context. The first 11 verses. Look right here. Beginning off, it says, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye brethren," and notice this contrast right here. It says, "But ye brethren are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." And notice, just as I said, you know, Paul gives us a contrast, you know, and he shows us what it's going to be like in the tribulation. But we have nothing to worry about. No, we have the truth of God's word to stand on, amen. No, we're not in darkness, and we're not appointed unto wrath. Right? Because as it said right there in verse 9, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, I've heard people misapply that verse right there, because they try to, you got people who believe in the post-tribulation rapture. And, you know, I've seen brethren try to use verse 9, you know, to prove that we're not going to be in the tribulation. But, you know, they come up with their own clever little sayings, you know, to try to explain away verse number 9. But they're missing verse 4, because verse 4, as dealing previous, you know, if they would just read in the context, you notice verses 1 through 3 right there, Paul shows us, you know, that's the times and the seasons, you know, talking about the tribulation, because, you know, in Revelation, it mentions that, you know, all the things dealing with the time of Jacob's trouble, of the tribulation. And then you come right here to verse 4, and Paul automatically gives a contrast. But he says, "But ye brethren are not in darkness, that day," for, you know, the first three verses right there, that day should overtake you as a thief. You know, we see right here, if you just carefully read and notice and study the scriptures in its context, that day is to Israel. But also, if you know something else, you know, this will be implying to, you know, that us today, that we could lose our salvation if you were to take it and apply physically. But also notice back with me in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, verses 13 and 14. It says right here, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." So, you know, if we were to be in the tribulation and didn't endure until the end, then we wouldn't be saved. You know, and not to mention that during this time, there's going to be signs and wonders. Look at verse 24 right there in Matthew chapter 24. It says, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. You know, and we know that signs are for the Jews and not for us today. And we know that according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22. And that verse simply says, "For the Jews require a sign, but the Greeks seek after wisdom." You know, there's no way, you know, today, there's no way for a believer today to lose salvation.
That's right.
You know, we have the promise of God's word on that. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. Ephesians 1:13 says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Now, if we were to lose salvation, then we would go straight into the tribulation period. But that would never happen because God sealed us. Because you just saw right there in verse 13, right there in Ephesians 1:13, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. You know, God sealed us and He promised us that we'd be caught up before this time takes place. And we have that promise over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. And this is the rapture of the church. Beginning right here in verse 13, it says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. It says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." And verse 18 says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words."
Amen.
And that's the same thing that we see when Paul goes in contrast in the next chapter over that we read previous. As you notice right there at the end of the context that we read in verse 11 in chapter 5, the next chapter over, Paul right there tells us directly once more, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together." And as we finish right here in verse 18, Paul says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Now, if we were to go into the tribulation period, you know, that wouldn't be a time of comfort because that's a time of trouble. Now, in the book of Jeremiah, it says that's the time of Jacob's trouble. That's not a time of comfort. Now, you know, many people get the Lord's coming mixed up and they try to place us inside of Jacob's trouble. But notice the differences in the Lord's coming. Notice the first thing in the Lord's coming for the first time. You know, the Lord himself calls us up in the clouds.
Yes.
Notice back right here where we were just at in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Notice the verses 16 and 17 once more. It says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." And that's the Lord's first coming, and this is one where Paul says it's a mystery. And this one, the Lord himself calls us up. You know, the Lord himself, he stands out on the clouds. He calls us up personally, and we're caught up. But at the Lord's second coming, you know, at the end of the tribulation, you know, this is for those that are in the tribulation. If you read the context of Matthew chapter 24, you know, those in the tribulation, God sends his angels to gather up the elect. So notice Matthew chapter 24, verses 30 and 31. Notice right here dealing with the context of the chapter, you know, this is right at the end of the tribulation. It says, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." So again, what day is this? Well, if you notice, you know, right here still Matthew 24. You know, just so we can find out what day this is. Let's look at the first 14 verses, and then we'll come over and then we'll read again verses 29 through 31. Right here it says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come." Verse 29. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." No, this is dealing with the tribulation period, which God said was for the Jews. And that's according to Jeremiah 30, verse 7. You know, it said, on that verse says, "For, you know, last right day is great, for is even the time of Jacob's trouble. But he shall be saved out of it." You know, this is the time of Jacob's trouble.
Yes.
Because notice right there at verse 29, it says, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days," you know, that's the tribulation. So, at the end of the tribulation, you know, this day is the day of the Lord, where the Lord is coming back with power and great glory. You know, this isn't the rapture of the church, you know, but it's a battle that's going to take place know, and that's between the Lord and the Antichrist. You know, and to notice this battle, if you look over in Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 to 21, in Revelation chapter 19, it says, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and of the flesh of captains, and of the flesh of mighty men, and of the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast, and the kings of the earth, and their armies, gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh." You know, this battle, takes place, at the end of the tribulation period. You know, and it's wrong to say, that we today as saved and sealed believers in Christ will see this day approaching. Because according to our text, that's what it would be implying.
Right.
Because back in our text, it said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. As it says, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. Pastors today use our text to force a believer to be in a church building, but then isolate the verse away from its context. But when us as a good student of the Word, we are supposed to read and study the whole Word in its context. Amen. So when the Lord comes for the first time, he steps out on the clouds and he calls us up by name. And then when he comes again at the end of the tribulation, he isn't calling up anyone because he's coming down to make war. So just prior to that, Matthew 24 shows us that his angels gathers up the elect. And then moving on, notice number two. For if we sin willfully, verse 26, right after our text, it says, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. We'll just keep reading down to verse 28. It says, but a certain fearful, looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Now, we notice this is going back and dealing with, the Old Testament law of Moses, according to verse 28. So, the Jews during this time, according to the tribulation, they had to endure unto the end in order that they may be saved. And we saw that in Matthew 24:13. But if they don't, and then they sin willfully, Then we notice once more in verse 27, but a certain fearful, looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. So, you know, if you notice, according to where we read in Revelation, you know, if they take the mark of the beast, you know, or worship his image, you know, or they sin willfully or whatever, you know, then there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. And when the Lord comes back for the battle of Armageddon, which we was reading right there in Revelation, you know, there's not going to be any salvation for them.
That's right.
Now, us today, have we sinned willfully after salvation? Yes. Yes, every one of us has. You know, none of us today are without sin. But the good news is, we're not going to hell, amen?
That's right, brother.
You know, I remember, you know, being told at church one time by what I thought was another brother that if I fell in sin and didn't repent before I died, he asked me, well, where would I go? You know, asking me. But, you know, if we're saved, you know, we're going to heaven, amen?
Amen, brother.
You know, God forbid, you know, that we do fall in sin. But if we do, it doesn't affect our salvation. Because today, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. You know, as we read back in Ephesians 1:13. Yeah. You know, God himself sealed us with his Holy Spirit of promise. You know, we'll lose rewards at the judgment seat, but our final destination was set when we put our faith in Christ.
That's right.
But you know, why did he ask me this? Well, I believe, you know, that he was trusting in his works and he was trying to sway me into his direction. So, you know, and maybe 6 months to a year, I'm guessing later, you know, he left the church. You know, none of us heard from him in a long time, but, you know, then one day, you know, he texted me, you know, then he, you know, he tried to call me directly after, you know, and he invited me to go to one of his services. But, you know, as it turned out, you know, he was in a Hebrew Roots Movement church. But, you know, this made sense to the question he asked me, you know, if I was to die and didn't repent, where would I go? But, you know, again, works have nothing to do with our salvation.
Amen.
But you know, I remember him bragging, you know, that they kept the Torah and that you can have coffee during the service and you know, while you're sitting there, I know me and my wife, we noticed a guy would come in and he would blow a shofar during the service. But you know, that was just all out of place because we today are not Jews and we don't keep the law because Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Come to on, everyone man. That believeth. So what happens to us today if we sin willfully? Well, if we turn over one more chapter to Hebrews chapter 12, notice verses 5 to 8. What happens today if we sin willfully? Notice right here. It says, And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth,
yes,
and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. So simply put, what happens to us today if we sin willfully? You know, we get a whooping, amen. You know, God chastises us because we are his.
Yep.
And when we get out of line or stray, according to the text right here, we get corrected. You know, God gives us a whooping, amen. And notice something else that happens if we sin willfully. 1 John chapter 1. Let's read verses 1 to 10 to cover this whole chapter. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So if we sin willfully, you know, our fellowship with the Lord is, you know, that's affected. And then as we saw in verse 9, when we confess our sin, the Lord restores the fellowship as well as our joy. Amen. No, but what happens to the Jews during the tribulation? What happens to the Jews if they sin willfully? Well, if you notice again back in our text, verses 26 and 27. For if we sin willfully, talking about the Jews, not us, for if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. You know, the Jews that didn't endure unto the end and sinned, you know, willfully, you know, or took the mark of the beast, you know, they'll be punished when the Lord comes back. Notice 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Look right here in verses 7 to 10 in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. It says, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So, you know, we today, we have no fear of losing our salvation or facing the tribulation. Yet we see Bible-believing pastors today misapplying our opening of text, you know, and they're trying to force it to the body of Christ. And, you know, simply, that's not right. You know, that's wrongly dividing the word of truth. And they're doing this just to force a tradition on the believer. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with being in church. But according right here in verse 25, you know, our text doesn't support that. But notice something else, you know, right here, something else dealing with our, with the context of our, of the chapter right here. Look in verse 39. Notice right here it says, well, we'll look back at verse 38 and then read 39. It says, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So, you know, if you read the whole chapter right here, leading up right here to verse 39, you'll see clearly that it's Jewish and it's dealing with the tribulation. And not only that, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. You know, we today are of them that believe to the saving of the soul. So, you know, the title of this message, you know, is Hebrews 10:25 talking to the church? No, it's not talking to the church, amen? And you know, and when you say something like this, you know, pastors assume, they judge, and they say things like, well, you're not right with the Lord, or you just want to sit at home, or, you know, you just want to live in sin, or no, or whatever else kind of assumption that comes to their mind. But all of these aren't even true. There's nothing wrong with going to church, amen? Now, where my problem comes in is when pastors and Christians twist the scriptures and wrongly divide it, you know, and then force their tradition over what the Word of God says in its context.
Amen.
So, like I've said many times, I love church, and I have nothing against church. It's when you place your tradition above the Word of God to the point that it doesn't matter what the church is, you know, or what they teach, you know, just Hebrews 10:25, it doesn't matter, just obey God and be in church. Now, you know, that statement is error. And if a church doesn't rally, if they don't rally divide, then they are in error. And to force a Christian to sit in error isn't obeying God, and it won't help his growth.
That's right, brother.
I mean, he'll grow, but it will be an error.
Yes.
So what it comes down to is, which one do you obey? Tradition or the Word of God?
Come on, brother. Amen.
And if you choose the Word of God, let's make sure that we rightly divide it and keep it in context. Amen.
Amen, brother. Thank you so much for this message. I agree that Hebrews 10:25 is not talking to the church. But let me just say that if it was talking to the church, look at this. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Alright, so alright, you don't attend church services, but if you get together with your family, with friends, and you do Bible studies together, you get online and do Bible studies together and whatnot. We are the church. So we are assembling. You know, even if, you know, me and my wife get together, me and my family get together to do a Bible study or whatnot, we're still assembling. But again, Hebrews 10:25 is not talking to the church. And besides, you know, again, there's nothing wrong, you know, with being in church. You know, if you have a Bible believing church around you, you should be there. But I'm like Brother Landon. I will not sit in church where they have false doctrine. Yeah, you will grow, but you're going to grow the wrong way. You're going to grow in error. All right. I'll go ahead and I'll stop right there. Thank you so very much for being with us today. Thank you for your prayers for us, our families, our ministries. Until next time, God bless you.